Let's open our Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Last night when David testified, he had gotten ahead of himself. He was in 2 Thessalonians already. We're still in the 5th chapter. We might be able to each read a verse this morning. Maybe there's more than 28 of us. Yes, there is. But we'll start on this side with Sister Judy, and then we'll just work our way around through the back and just read loud, nice and loud when you read. One verse each. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5.
Now, brothers, about times and dates we do not need to write to you.
For you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night.
Verse 3. While people are saying peace and safety, destruction will come on them suddenly, as labor pains on the pregnant woman, and they will not escape.
But you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief.
We are all children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness.
Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be as sober.
For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk at night.
Let us live in the light, be clear-headed, protected by the arm of faith and love, and wearing as our helmet the confidence of our salvation.
For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ,
who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him.
7.
Wherefore, comfort yourselves together, and edify one another, even as also ye do.
And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you, you over you in the Lord, and admonish you.
And to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves.
Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men.
To make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong, but always try to be kind to each other and everyone else.
Be joyful always.
Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus.
Do not put out the Spirit's fire.
And don't stifle those who have a word from the Master. On the other hand, don't be gullible. Check out everything and keep only what's good. Throw anything tainted with evil.
Test everything. Hold on to the good. And avoid all forms of evil.
May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ.
The one who calls you as faithful, and he will do it.
Brothers, pray for us.
Greet all the brothers and sisters with Christian love.
I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read unto all the holy brethren.
In the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, be with you.
You didn't give me a verse. I'll read the 17th. Pray without ceasing. We skipped over that one. Pray without ceasing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, there's much in this chapter, and maybe too much that we could cover this morning, but I thought it would be good. I did want to, at some point, talk to you about this subject of the coming of the Lord. But very briefly, what does it say, or how is it described? How will that day come? What's the thing that the apostle emphasizes in this reading about the coming or the day of the Lord?
No one knows when he comes. It's going to come like a thief.
Right, come like a thief. Now, if you remember the other night, we had that on the tape by Brother Gottfried, where he said it's an interesting picture, this thought of the thief coming. And he actually made reference to this chapter where he said, the apostle here says, it shouldn't overtake you, though. as a thief, because you are children of the
light.
The light. You are children of the day. You're not children of the night. So it shouldn't overtake us. Yes, it will come suddenly, but it shouldn't be something that we are not prepared for. You understand that? Another place, I believe it's in the Gospels, where Jesus teaches, he says, you know, if the good men of the house knew when the thief would come, he would be what?
Ready.
He'd be ready. If you knew the thief was going to come in the back door at 9:30, what do you think you would do? You'd call the police at 9:20 and tell them, come to my house because the thief is coming. Or else you'd stand there and or lock that door, or you'd be ready for that thief when he came. But we don't know when Jesus is going to come. And so we need to be ready at all times. And how is it that we get ready? How is it that we get ready? What does it say? What should we put on? Now, it wasn't one of your questions, but what should we put on? It's part of that admonition that I asked you to write out in verse 6. Don't be like others who are asleep. Asleep. Okay? But be alert and
watchful.
What'd you write down? Be alert and
self-controlled,
right? Be alert, be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be self-controlled. And what should we put on?
The breastplate of faith and love.
Faith and love. There are those two words again together. How many times have we found them in Thessalonians together? Faith and love. Faith and love. Faith and love. And also that word hope is there. And for a helmet, the hope of salvation. The Apostle Paul started that letter, this letter, with those three thoughts. Do you remember that? The first chapter? Your work of faith, your labor of love, and the hope that causes you to persevere and go through. And here again we find them in this last chapter. He reminds them. Now if you want to be ready, put on that breastplate of faith and love. Guard your heart. Guard your heart. Guard the things that will tend to control your life with faith and with love. Faith toward God. How wonderful it is to put our confidence in Him and to live a life of faith, trusting Him moment by moment, and then to have His love in our hearts and flowing out to others. These things make us ready for the coming of the Lord. But I wanted just this morning to go down this list of commands. Aren't they wonderful? Have you memorized them? Ever? That would be good if you did, but then have you done them? That would be better, wouldn't it? Hallelujah. So, we're going to just start. I'm going to get you to participate, though, this morning. Which command do you think is good for you? Or which one could you do better? There's quite a number of them, so what did you want to say?
The one I read.
The one you read?
Yeah. That I'm exercised by that. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. So that would be a good beginning if everyone commented on their verse. Is that possible?
He's asking for commands. Be patient.
Okay. With your husband. Isn't it very practical?
Yes,
it is. Okay, we've heard from our ministers now. Now we'll hear from you.
Pray continually.
Pray continually. What do you think that means, David?
If you want to thank God for something He did for you, you want to ask Him for something, you just want to talk to Him, you just go and pray all the time.
Do you think that means that instead of washing the dishes, maybe you should be here in this room praying all the time?
If you have time to be here, yes.
Can you pray at the sink?
Yes, you can pray anywhere you are. in your mind. It's just, you don't even have to close your eyes. If you're doing something, just pray in your mind.
Do you ever? I pray while I'm driving in my car.
Yeah.
Do you think I close my eyes?
No.
Okay, but we can pray. It's simply talking to God. Isn't that what prayer is? Just simply talking. And you can do that anywhere, at any time. And in any situation, pray continually. I think it speaks of that constant, we talk about fellowship or communion, you know. We have that constant conversation, as it were, where God can talk to us and we can talk to Him. Good. Someone else?
Live in peace with each other.
Live in peace.
We should always have trouble being peaceful with people's others, with their different opinions and stuff like that. And sometimes I can get frustrated with people. So,
live at peace with one another. Someone else.
Honor your leaders who work so hard for you, who have been given the responsibility of urging and guiding you along your obedience.
God places many people in our lives that help us along the way. I look back at my life and I could think of Sunday school teachers and people in the church who encouraged me as I was growing up. You know, they showered us with love, and not only love, but their love was demonstrated by their concern that we did the right thing. I had a Sunday school teacher once who helped me to see my need of to be baptized. I guess I thought that I wasn't good enough to be baptized. I saw that I wasn't, you know, maybe there were things yet in me that weren't right. And he said to me, he said, you know, Philip, you don't have to be perfect to be baptized. I don't know how he knew that was what was struggling in my heart. But he says, you have to just take that step of obedience and be baptized. And so I was, and I thank God for that. These leaders that God places in our lives, we ought to esteem them highly for their work's sake. They labor for us in prayer. They hold us up before the throne of grace, and they endeavor to help us. So we ought to esteem them highly in love for their works. And it's interesting, that verse that that you mentioned, that phrase, be at peace among yourselves, that kind of follows right in with that. You know what will make our leaders happy, joyful, is when we learn to live at peace with one another. There's nothing, I think, that's more discouraging to a minister or pastor than to see a church that's not at peace with one another. So let's be at peace. Let's remember our leaders. And what's one way that you could remember your leaders and show that you love them? What's one thing you could do, James?
Pray for them.
Pray for them. Pray for them. Amen. Okay, someone else.
In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. At the word not for yourself.
Yes. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God. Here's another one of those places in the Bible where it spells out for us exactly what the will of God is. And sometimes we take those three phrases together. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. That's a good place to start. This is the will of God, even your sanctification. Well, here's another one. This is the will of God, that in everything we give thanks. Anyone else?
I see the word encourage is used twice. Encourage one another and build each other up, and encourage the timid. That's also in Hebrews, where it said, let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Mm-hmm. I heard someone once say, as you see the day approaching, as we are living in the end times, close to the second coming of Christ, things are heating up in the world, and we need each other even more, and we need to encourage each other more. And I remember one time a minister was saying, there are certain things that should come out of our mouths and certain things that should not come out of our mouths. And one thing, like our sister was mentioning about Thanksgiving, should be something that comes out of our mouths. And encouraging one another should be something that comes out of our mouths. And not to criticize or to complain.
Let us be alert and self-controlled. It's easy to get distracted in general, just in life, or more specifically, like when you're supposed to be paying attention to the word or to the pastor. Especially in this, what Thessalonians is talking about is waiting for the coming of the Lord, and it's even more important for us to be alert to that.
What do you think it means when it says, do not put out the Spirit's fire, or do not quench the Spirit? What do you think that means?
And God is telling you to do something, to pray, or give testimony, don't not do it.
Okay. When the Spirit's at work in us, do we sometimes, and He wants us to maybe do something, do we say, no, we put that out? Or maybe sometimes in a meeting, as Johanna was mentioning, how God will be at work in us. And when we leave here, do we sometimes quench His Spirit's working in us? Maybe we just talk too much. Dad mentioned how he would go home after meetings when he was a young person and just not talk to anyone. Have you ever tried that? To go home after church and not say a word. Oh, but I'm supposed to fellowship. Yeah, you are. But there are times when God is working in your heart when by talking you can lose the blessing. We've heard that. I've heard that all my life. I've heard that in this place. Brother Gordon Gardner would say it. Don't leak out. Right? Don't leak out. God has filled your vessel. Don't leak out. Guard against that. Don't quench what God is doing in your life. And if there's a conviction that God places into your heart about something, don't rationalize it away and say it's okay. You know, I don't really have to do it. It's not that bad. Don't quench the Spirit's fire. When He's working in your heart, allow Him to do the thing that He's after in you. Let's see what else I have here. What does it mean to despise not prophecies? Or in the King James, despise not prophesyings. What do you think that means? Do not treat prophecies with contempt. And I think whoever read it, they read it all together, and it's probably right. Do not treat prophecies with contempt. Test everything. Hold on to the good. What does that mean? What is prophecy? It's prophecy telling the future or speaking about future events. What do you think? Well, the answer could be yes. Yes is right for that question. But it's also prophecy in the Bible really speaks about speaking the word of the Lord. Just telling forth His message. This is what the Lord says. And it doesn't necessarily have to be about the future. It often is right about now. God uses prophecy to speak to His people today and to their condition today. And so when God is speaking, when His word is going forth, we need to have a heart that receives it and not despises it. There are people that God places as, again, in our lives, leaders, those who teach us the Word of God. Sometimes we don't like the message. Ever happened to you? Or sometimes we think that they're talking about us. And usually it's not the case. It's not the minister, it's not the speaker who is talking about your condition. It's the Holy Spirit of God who knows your heart. Some people have gotten offended. How did they know that about me? Why did they say that? They were talking to me. Well, if you feel that way, well, maybe God is talking to you. And take it as it were from the Lord. Despise not prophecies. When God is speaking, humble yourself and say, Lord, that's for me. That's good for me. I needed that. I think I'll remember what Brother Bob Petfield said. Never heard it said just like that before. That message was like castor oil. Is that what he said?
Yeah,
castor oil. Yeah, that doesn't taste too good, does it? But it does its work. It does the job, right? And God knows what we need. And sometimes it's not pleasant. I think that's what Julius said. Sometimes it hurts, right? It hurts a little bit. But it's good for us. All right, should we do any more? Did we miss any? Encourage the timid, help the weak, be patient with everyone. We'll be even patient with Heidi, the storekeeper. Be self. I think we got them all. Hold on to the good. Avoid every kind of evil. Hallelujah. Well, is there something that we can work on now? Is there anything the Lord's saying? Well, you could do better. You can do better along that line. Just one more thought. I'd like to say, I believe that these commands are here where they are in the Bible. They're right where God wants them to be. Now, why am I saying that? That's obvious, right? They're right where God wants them to be. But they're in this book and they're in this chapter that talks about the coming of the Lord. It talks about being children of light. It talks about being children of the day. So do you think that these commands and these instructions have anything to do with being ready? What do you think? About being children of the day? Brother Rob, what do you think? Right, it has to be, right? That's why they're there. And if we're going to be ready for His coming, if we're going to be ready to stand before Him and not be ashamed, then we need to make sure that these things are being built into our lives. This is how we are children of the day. This is how we are children of the light. This is how that day will not overtake us as a thief. If I am allowing God to work these things in my life consistently, the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. God is at work. God is at work to change me, to purify me, to make me His very own. And so, we take His grace this morning. Lord, we take Your grace. And Lord, if You're convicting us, if You're speaking to us, we thank You, Lord. We thank You, Lord. Warn those who are idle. We didn't cover that one. Could we apply that in the spiritual sense? Sometimes we just love to sit spiritually. We don't grow. Now, I know that that has other meanings. But spiritually, are you idle? Are you just content where you are? Or do you think God has more for you? What do you think, Tevin? God have more for us?
Yes.
All the time, right? And so we have to work at it. Don't be idle, brothers. Don't be idle. Let's go on. Let's press on. Let's press on. Faithful is he who calleth you, who also will do it. What encouragement that is. Who is at work in your heart? Who is it? Is it Brother Phil? No, I can't. I can't. But the Lord, he's at work in you, and he's faithful to do it. To do it. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Let's just bow our hearts before him. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Let's take our hymn books and sing together. His power can make you what you ought to be. His way with thee. Title? Number 116. 116. Stand as we sing.
That they had. And we thank you, Lord, that these letters have been preserved for us, and help us during this day to obey these commands.
Hallelujah.
Lord, we know that you will give us an opportunity. We realize that situations will arise where we can obey these commands. So we thank you for this word today. Help us, Lord. Make us what we ought to be.
Yes, Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Sanctification is accomplished in no one by accident. Learn God's commands and put them into practice consistently if you desire to see progress in the growth of your soul. Holiness is not a feeling, it is the end product of obedience. Purity is not a gift, It is the result of repentance and serious pursuit of God. So we have something to do. We have to cooperate with God and obey. God bless you.